Hello, and welcome to State of Our Workforce Unpacked. My name is Henry Danner, and I'm the Network Manager at the National Fund for Workforce Solutions. Unpacked takes the national conversations from State of Our Workforce and brings them to the ground level, spotlighting how workforce equity shows up in communities across our network. It's where our nationally powered, locally driven ethos comes to life. This month, we're digging deeper into the childcare crisis with Michelle Siebert from the United Way of Central Iowa. Together, we'll unpack how they're taking a community approach and focusing on job quality to improve the childcare system from the inside out. Hello, welcome back to State of Our Workforce Unpacked, where we'll dig deeper into the incredibly impactful work that our network partners are doing across the country. Today, we're taking a hard look at the childcare crisis in central Iowa. It's a problem that leaves families struggling for care and educators struggling to make ends meet. But this issue isn't just about affordability. It's about the people providing the care as well. What does it take to solve a crisis that's been decades in the making? Luckily for us, we'll be joined today by Michelle Siebert, the Community Impact Officer for Economic Opportunity at the United Way of Central Iowa. Michelle's going to help us unpack how her team is using data, advocacy, and evidence-based solutions to create better jobs for educators and explore why improving job quality may be the key to fixing this entire system. Michelle, hello, and welcome to State of the Workforce Unpacked. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Henry, for having me. And I'm so excited to talk about this subject.
Yes, I'm super excited to learn about it. From what I've learned so far, being at the National Fund, it's more that meets the eye when it comes to understanding the childcare industry. So I'm happy, you know, to have you here in conversation so that I can gain a better understanding and also, you know, our audience can as well. So the first things first, I've never been to Iowa at all, let alone central Iowa. So for myself and for the viewers and listeners like me, can you tell us just a little bit about this childcare crisis happening in central Iowa? What is it about? What's making it so urgent? And then could you also just maybe tell us a little about how families and providers in your community are experiencing these challenges firsthand?
Yeah, thanks for the question and the opening. I can't say that I'm surprised that you haven't been to Iowa. We're sometimes considered the flyover state, but there are a lot of people in our state that are, like we like to describe ourselves, hardworking and genuine and we've got about 3.5 million people, so there's a lot of employees, employers, and educators in our communities that childcare is a significant issue for. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, we like to consider ourselves hardworking, and you know who doesn't? But that's a virtue of ours in Iowa, and the data actually plays this out. So. Over 75% of Central Iowa children currently under the age of 6 have both parents or guardians working outside the home. So that means that they have a need for childcare. They have a need for other workforce supports, but childcare is really critical. A big problem, though, in Iowa is that people are working hard but not getting paid very well. So in Central Iowa, 35% of individuals that are working make below the ALICE, or Asset Limited Income Constrained and Employed, survival budget, which is around $76,000 annually for a household of 2 adults and 2 children in childcare. This also goes for our childcare providers. They are also ALICE. Very hardworking. The job is hard. I don't know if you've been around 25 to 30 young kids at a time and trying to corral them into activities and worthwhile things. But it's a hard job. Mm-hmm. But our child care providers, the system itself is starved financially. So our centers, which is the focus of our project and a lot of our advocacy work, they struggle to pay providers what their true value to society is. That's just a difficult thing for them to do. Now, the crisis is really not just, like you said, about affordability and access, but it's a loss not just for employment or the workforce, but it's a loss for our kids too and society as a whole.
Yeah.
There are efforts locally and at the state level to increase the number of slots available, so making it easier to access childcare. But the affordability issue is a tough one to figure out. And when we think about what's lost when kids and families can't access childcare, it's not just, you know, forcing people out of employment, which is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And in some cases, we're forcing parents to make very difficult decisions about where their kids are at when they need to be working or doing other things. So in potentially unsafe environments. But we're losing the early learning opportunities for our children. We're losing often developmental screenings, which a lot of our providers, our centers, and in some cases, home-based providers are opening their doors for developmental screenings to occur for kids. And just caring adults that kids can go to that where they feel like they're valued. And that's really important. So the childcare crisis is not just one about workforce, but it's really a loss for our children and our society. So it's something really important to focus on.
Yeah, yeah. You can't take the child out of childcare, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's central. So I know that your organization participates in the National Fund Shifting the Child Care Industry Initiative.
Yeah.
And from what I know, this initiative is all about improving job quality. For most folks, they don't really, you know what that means. So it feels very abstract to hear words job quality. So can you tell us a little bit more about what that actually looks like for a child care provider in Des Moines?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you ask this question, and I think it's a really good one. We didn't exactly know what job quality looked like in childcare either here in Des Moines and our centers. So I wanted to make that distinction that we're focusing on centers here and not home providers, but they're likely feeling some of the same pressures as centers. So we didn't assume that we knew what job quality was. And so we went, you know, taking the, you know, what the National Fund really believes strongly in, worker voice and worker empowerment. We went directly to the source and we asked center directors and educators, classroom educators or teachers, what they believed was job quality. Mm-hmm. And we started with the National Fund's job design framework, which is a great tool. Mm-hmm. And we asked about a lot of the typical things, and we asked this in a survey form. And if people are interested, we're happy to share our survey and what the questions really actually looked like to the directors and the educators. But mm-hmm. we asked about things that are in this job design framework: fairness and respect in the workplace. We asked about whether or not they had the ability or knowledge to do their job well. Do they have the tools to do that? We asked about acknowledgement and recognition, and then we asked about engagement as well. And what did we find? Well, not surprisingly, people really believe that recognition for what they're doing well and timely feedback on where they need to improve is really important to a quality job. And we actually found that those that are longer tenured at the centers found that recognition was more important to them. Mm-hmm. So what we're thinking is that, you know, because turnover in some centers is higher than in other occupations,
right,
that they're spending a lot of time onboarding and focusing time and effort on new hires and not necessarily those that have been longer tenured at the center. So that's a finding that we're addressing, and I'll talk more about that later. We also found that centers are not very stable financially or practically or otherwise. So when we asked directors about a number of things related to their operations, we found that cash is low, cash on hand is low. Mm-hmm. So they're working on a very tight budget. And we know that the system is really, it needs more financial resources. It's financially starved. So that wasn't terribly surprising. We found, like I had mentioned, that turnover is high at some centers, but not others. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then we also found that consistent procedures for things like onboarding are more of a luxury than not. So it takes time and effort to develop these policies and practices. And our directors are just, they're doing their best. And it's really a luxury to be able to dedicate time to developing these good policies and practices. Mm-hmm. So obviously, given this information, we are focusing on job quality and specifically educator recognition and center stability. And the whole idea is that through recognition and stabilizing centers, we're able to get things in place for more optimized operations in the center, so they can find financial resources and time and intentionality to increasing wages and morale of their employees. So that's what job quality looks like in Des Moines at our centers right now.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And, you know, I think most people will automatically assume, oh, people want more money, right? But more money is great, obviously, but people also want to be, they want to be acknowledged, you know, for the work that they're doing. So, mm-hmm. The findings from that survey don't surprise me, but I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
As we know, it takes a team, you know, and they always say it takes a village, you know, when it comes to raising children.
That is
and
true.
I know that you've built a strong coalition focusing on improving childcare. And can you tell us why a coalition approach is critical for this work? And when working in a coalition, also tell us a little bit, how do you ensure that there are diverse voices in the room and at the table, especially of the voices of childcare educators, the folks who you're trying to help with this initiative? Mm-hmm. How do you include them in the planning and the decision making and balance everyone's needs and expectations? I know that can't be easy.
Yeah, it's not, but it's so worthwhile and it pays dividends. Mm-hmm. Our coalition, I will say, has been around for a while, for many years. And it's a really strong coalition where they've formed great bonds with each other. So our coalition represents primarily Central Iowa, Des Moines primarily, but also some North Polk County provider and Eastern Polk County provider. Des Moines is in Polk County. Mm-hmm. And they all take and get their the most of their budget from child care assistance. Mm-hmm. So most of the youth or the children that they serve are on child care assistance. So high need.
Yeah,
financially. And we found that a lot of these reasons that coalitions are important are playing out in real time in our project. And it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So the first reason to build and develop and maintain a strong coalition is obvious. So it's great for advocacy by amplifying voices that aren't traditionally listened to, that aren't traditionally heard, and maybe otherwise overlooked or respected. So that's really important for systems change. And we can't, you know, in focusing on some of the other important reasons for a coalition, we can't forget that that is really important, that they have a voice in advocacy. And they're really well positioned for that. But there are also two other reasons to build and maintain a strong coalition. And the first is around shared accountability. So because they form strong bonds and maybe have some, you know, healthy competition among them, we find that they're really great for holding each other accountable and you know, wanting to, you know, hear about what others are doing and ensuring that they're maintaining a level of service for children and their employees. So that's important, an important reason to maintain and build a strong coalition. The third piece is what we are finding out is really great and has paid dividends in this project is the peer learning that occurs in coalitions. They come together and they share best practice or promising practices. One example is that in trying to streamline practices and procedures at the centers, we have a TA provider that's providing a technology that has really streamlined the way they do things. And we've gotten some great testimonials from some of the center directors, and they've been telling others and sharing how they're using the technology. And it's just been so organic and great to see that that's a venue for them to come together and learn about the best, most promising ways to do things. Mm-hmm. So that was really important through the coalition. And then just quickly, engaging educators has been really important to us, just like it is to the National Fund. And that's why we're a partner with the National Fund. And so we have utilized educator voice as a critical input to our design of the process and the project. And we've seen that directors who are our primary conduit for changing practices and improving wages, obviously, we've seen that directors really care about what their employees, the educators have to say and are willing to act on it. So that's been really great. We've designed our project around educator feedback through surveys, and we're looking to do some focus groups here in the next few months to really drill or dig into, you know, what changes they're seeing and how that's changing their job quality. So we're really excited for those results.
Yeah, that is really exciting. I love that you mentioned that accountability and even that healthy competition. I think that's really great to see in a coalition, because everybody knows that the main people that you're trying to get to benefit is the child. So it works out. So my last question for you is going to be a bit twofold, right? So when it comes to these job quality strategies that you're implementing and testing out, can you tell us a little bit about how you're going to measure success for educators and for families, and just thinking even into the future? What is a successful implementation of this initiative look like in Central Iowa? And then the other part is, you know, what advice would you give to someone engaged in this work or wanting to engage in this work?
I just think it's so important to be investing in this this work right now. It's very timely. And when we look at our project and our involvement with childcare over the years, it's really about wanting our community to be a great place to raise kids, to be employed and working. We don't want our families to constantly be struggling, whether that be struggling to afford the necessities or access childcare, access other employment supports, or getting a job. We want our community to thrive. Mm-hmm. And that looks like people finding purposeful, well-paid and rewarding work That's part of it. So they need access to childcare. And we want our children ready to learn by the time they go to school and really setting them on a trajectory for their future success. So that's our big goal. Our project goal is to see increased wages and morale, and stronger relationships and better systems. So directors and educators aren't struggling either. So we want people to have the knowledge and skills and tools they need to be successful in their work and providing good quality services to children. Mm-hmm. So advice that I have three prong advice when I thought about it. Mm-hmm. The first is really leaning into your team. Here at United Way of Central Iowa, we have so much knowledge and expertise here in-house. And we've built a great team that has focused on this project. We have people that have worked in childcare before, have advocated for childcare. We have myself, who's more focused on the workforce component. Mm-hmm. We have others with really immense skills and knowledge. And it's really important to lean on that team. The second, which is related, is leaning into your own abilities and passions, but you have to understand your limits and yeah. when to go to the team. And you're an important part of that team. So leaning into your own abilities and passions. And then the third component is leaning into the coalition. You know, when we were looking at job quality and then looking at interventions the interventions we were going to provide to hopefully raise wages and morale, we looked inward first. We didn't look to outside experts, national experts necessarily. We looked inward to the coalition, and we have immense experts in childcare that are implementing best practices here in Central Iowa. And so we've utilized coalition members to provide technical assistance to others. Mm-hmm. So I would say lean into your team, lean into your coalition, and lean into your own abilities and passions to do this work. Because like you said, it takes a village, and that's not cliche. Big system in chaos. And in crisis, and it's going to take everyone to make a difference.
I agree. Well, there you have it. Michelle, I really want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank everyone who joined us. Of course. I want to also thank everyone who joined us on LinkedIn. Tune in for future episodes. We'll keep exploring the future of workforce equity with our network partners on State of Our Workforce Unpacked. So see you all soon.
State of Our Workforce Unpacked is a production of the National Fund for Workforce Solutions. This episode was produced by Joshua Enoch. The music in this episode is produced by Alex Productions. You can find past episodes of State of Our Workforce Unpacked on our website at www.nationalfund.org. Be sure to follow the National Fund for Workforce Solutions on LinkedIn to watch live episodes of State of Our Workforce Unpacked. Don't forget to subscribe to State of Our Workforce wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate you tuning in and look forward to bringing you more valuable conversations in the future.